Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get the conversation started. Young Adults Talk presents Breaking Change, You Talk. Let's sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and how they feel about the society they live in today. It's Breaking Change, You Talk, every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back, relax, and let's enjoy the conversation being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions.
All right. God bless you. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I greet you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus the Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. I pray all is well with you wherever you are in the land. God bless you. God bless you. Let us humble ourselves and go before the throne of God in prayer. Most gracious and merciful Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, Lord God, we come led of the Holy Spirit to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise as we thank you for another glorious day, Lord God, that you breathed breath into our bodies and allowed us to see. Father God, forgive us for our sins and our unrighteousness. Lord God, we ask right now that you bless this show right now. You talk on this afternoon, Father God. Bless our young people, Father God. Guide them and strengthen them, Father God. Order their steps, Lord God. Send your guardian angels to sit over us today, Father God, and the listeners. Bless every home listening and every home participating. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody suit up. Put on your full armor of God. It's time to break chains. It's time for Youth Talk on YAT Radio. We going live, y'all. Let's go get them.
I've been out of for a while, but it's time for me to get back on it now.
Yeah.
I've been at it for a while, but it's time for me to get back on it now.
Yeah.
I've been at it for a while, but it's time for me to get back on it now. Ain't no shackles on me down, no. Ain't no shackles on me now, no. And it ain't nobody pulling me down, no. Not even no devil pulling me down. Man, I worship a mountain mover. He done may be a valley walker. Man, I worship a mind renewer. Bring back to my memory what he done taught me. Ain't no shackles on me now, no. Ain't no shackles on me now. Wake up and I put my armor on. I do that by coming boldly before the throne. It's mandatory, my defense is God alone. I feel the spirit, it's like fire in my bones. Don't get me wrong, I go to church a lot, but that ain't the reason for my relationship. But God has just, he brought me through a lot. When that come to priorities, he on top. And I worship like I'm gone mad. Give it all like the last stand. Threw my past in a trash can. Ain't got nothing to hide like an hourglass. Keep it holy like I'm supposed to. Down for Jesus like a bold fool. God is good to me like soul food. And that's why I love him, I love him so. So I tell him ain't no shackles on me down, no. Ain't no shackles on me now, no. And it ain't nobody pulling me down, no. Not even no devil pulling me down. If you're free, put your hands up. Yeah, put your hands up. If you're really free, put your hands up. Let the people see that you're free, put your hands up. If you're really free, put your hands up. Yeah, go ahead, put your hands up. If you're really free, let me see. Cause the people need to see that you're free, put your hands up. I'm radical, can't help that I'm teed up. Been a bounce bad like a re-up. And I'm going hard in the pain. And I represent the same like a crib doing seize up. Light of the world, people need us. Yeah, it's in the scripture, people need us. But the thing is, when they see us, they don't really see us. They looking at Jesus. And he said that if I be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. So I looked at my cross and now I'll pick it up. And I'ma follow him all the way to the end with a grin. Cause I know in the end that I win and I'm in. Cause he saved me from sin and he's seated on the right hand. I lifted up and he's living in me. Can't you tell that I'm free? Ain't no shackles on me down, no. Ain't no shackles on me now, no. Bring back to my memory what he done taught me. Ain't no shackles holding me down, no. free, put your hands up. Yeah, go ahead, put your hands up. If you really free, let me see, cause the people need to see that you're free, put your hands up. Ain't no shackles holding me down, no.
No.
Ain't no shackles holding me now, no.
No.
And it ain't nobody holding me down, no.
No.
Not even no devil's holding me down. Man, I worship a mountain mover.
Oh,
he done made me a valley walker.
Oh,
man, I worship a mind renewer. Bring back to my memory what he done taught me.
Oh,
man, I worship a mountain mover. He done made me a valley walker. Man, I worship a mind renewer. Bring back to my memory what he done taught me. Ain't no shackles holding me down.
No, 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 no.
Ain't no shackles holding me down.
No, no.
It's Youth Night.
Listen to our young people break chains.
With Young Adults Talk, right here on YAT Radio.
All right, all right. Welcome back to the show. Good afternoon to you. I pray all is well with you. What's going on today is Youth Talk, where we're talking to our young people and we're asking questions. We're having conversation. I want you to always support our youth and you know, open your ears, close your mouth, and just take a listen. They got a powerful show coming up for you. So I'm going to get out of the way. I'm your host, Pastor Rod. Now it's time for me to turn these microphones over to our host. Good afternoon, everybody. Want everybody to introduce yourself. We're starting off with you, Ray Bell. So you got the lead. It's your show. Let's go.
Okay, so, you know, I'm Ray Bell, you know, kind of the host. And I'm here with Shakira, Layla, and my sister Kristen. So first I'm going to, like, disclose the topic. So today we're going to be talking about mental health. And I thought it was important to talk about this because mental health is something that, you know, it's talked about in the Black community, but it's in communities, but it's not, like, not even just in the Black community, you know, overall, it's kind of pushed to the side, or it's not brought into the spotlight as much as it should be. So that's kind of why I want to talk about this. And, you know, I'm going to say it, you know, flat out, me, myself, I do, you know, I have and still do sometimes struggle with my mental health. And, you know, I'm grateful that I have a parent who, you know, understands that and, you know, helps me, you know, go through those things. But everybody doesn't have that. So I kind of want to, you know, talk about, you know, these mental health issues, you know, kind of where they come from and, you know, how we can help our younger, not just our younger generation, but our older generation deal with them. So, yeah, because, like I said, like in the Black community, you know, mental, and in communities in general, because I do say the Black community, but this happens, you know, Black community, white community, with people of color, people not of color. So, I mean, it happens with everybody, you know. People don't really notice that there are mental health issues going on. So somebody, you know, commits suicide or something of that sort. And then, you know, it's, oh, let's talk about mental health. So, yeah, and I just wanted to, you know, start off by saying anyone who is, you know, going through any mental health struggles or mental health issues, that it's okay to, you know, feel those emotions sometimes. It's okay to, you know, be confused or stuck. And, you know, the best option is to go talk to somebody about it. If you're a child, go talk to your parent. And if you're an adult, you know, see a therapist. And I feel like that's important to talk about because, you know, a lot of people think, you know, if you're seeing a therapist, you're crazy or this and that. But therapy, you know, even if you don't struggle with your mental health, therapy is a really good thing to do because, you know, me, myself, again, you know, kind of put myself, you know, more so out there. I have a therapist and I go to therapy and, you know, it really helps, you know, going to talk about your issues to someone who, you know, is not going to just tell you, oh, well, it's going to be okay. And I know that, you know, some of us do tell people that because that's all we know how to do and we're not, you know, licensed. But it's good to talk to somebody who is going to say, well, if this is what you're struggling with, this is how you address this issue, and this is how you change that, and this is how, you know, you can help, excuse me, take strides, you know, to be better and do better and, you know, be more motivated. You know, and going back to myself, like, I have a problem with, you know, feeling like, because all my life, you know, my family has told me, you know, I'm smart, you know, I'm this, I'm that. So I have, you know, an issue with trying to live up to that expectation. And sometimes I work too hardly on myself, and I internalize, you know, things that, you know, like, I might try my hardest, but I might think, you know, my hardest isn't good enough. So I will internalize that, and, you know, I will start, you know, doubting myself and thinking I'm not good enough. So it's good to go to a therapist who would tell me, you know, well, when you start having these thoughts, you know, kind of break it down step by step and this, that, and the third. So that's why I kind of, you know, wanted to talk about mental health, because, you know, like I said, me, I have had, you know, issues with my mental health. And I feel like, you know, as someone who has had, you know, mental health issues, it's important to highlight and talk about this subject because, you know, a lot of people try to, you know, put it away. Okay, Chrissy. Oh, okay. But, yeah. And I think, I don't know, I think Layla or Jakira might have suggested this topic. I'm not sure, but I just remember it was like when I thought about this topic, it really spoke to me, like I said, because, you know, I feel like we don't talk about mental health enough. And, you know, even just talking about a little bit, I still feel like that's not enough because, you know, mental health, if you're not mentally healthy, because it's one thing to be physically healthy, but if you're not mentally healthy, then that kind of, you know, shuts down your whole system and you lose motivation. And, you know, that's and mental health issues is a major thing, you know, especially with our generation, because of, you know, how we, excuse me, of how school is on us and things like that. You know, a lot of people in our generation struggle with their mental health. And there's not enough, like, there should be, we should, like, know what to do and know, hey, it's time to, you know, go talk to an adult or go talk to somebody. And there's not enough, I feel like there's not enough, you know, resources for people who are struggling with these things.
Oh, I thought, when I thought about the topic, I thought it was a good topic because some of my friends deal with mental health issues, but, like, most people, when they tell people they have mental health issues, that's how people label them. Like, most people are labeled for their mental health issues. That's why most people don't speak up about it, because that's, people will label them as it. And I feel like it's a good topic to speak on because nobody should be labeled. If you have mental health issues, you normal just like everybody else.
I definitely agree with Jakira on that statement because usually, like, talking about this, like, you know, with a lot of people listening, it's kind of something a little hard for me to do because I'm talking about my personal issues. And usually I don't really tell anybody about this type of stuff because I don't want, like, I was even, when I first started going to therapy, I was even hesitant to, you know, tell my friends and stuff like that. I was hesitant to tell them because I was scared that they was going to think that I was crazy or something. But then I thought about it that, you know, I know they're not going to judge me for that and stuff like that. But, yeah, like the parents said, people do tend to put a label on people who have, you know, mental health issues. And, you know, the thing is, like the parents said, nobody deserves to be labeled, especially because a lot of mental health issues like depression and bipolar disorder and stuff like that are things that, you know, sometimes can either be genetically passed down or something that people can't control. Because a lot of people, when people say they feel depressed or whatever, they're like, oh, why don't you go do this or do that? And why, you know, like, people are always, oh, like, why don't you just pray about it or whatever? And praying can help, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you can try, but sometimes you can't overcome these issues without, you know, talking to somebody who is licensed and professional to help you. So, you know, like Jakira said, nobody deserves to be labeled as, you know, this or that. And, yeah.
I also feel like it's better ways that can help people with mental health issues other than just throwing them in mental institutions, because some of these mental institutions are not good for them. It just make it worse because they just locked up with most people. It seemed like they're just locked in a room with nothing to do and just being forced into doing things they're not being comfortable. I feel like in a mental institution, they should be have them be like more comfortable in the environment.
I haven't seen yet, but I just wanted to say that I think this topic is very important, because even if you can get people on, like, you can, I'm sorry, but I think this topic is important because it's untouched on, especially, not to say it like that, but, like, mostly in the Black community, they usually tell you to go pray about it and, you know, turn to God instead of saying, hey, mental health is an actual issue. And like Ray said, therapy, it works really well. You get to get everything you're thinking off your mind and, you know, all your issues and have another person's opinion. Because I feel like when you hold all that in, you just, you know, you just build it all up and it makes you even sadder. And you just walk around with this heavy heart and this stuff on your heart that you, and I feel like you need a therapist to let, you know, to let that out.
I also feel like I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, some people use their mental health issues as an excuse as to their actions, like how we were talking about in the last podcast. We said the police try to use that as an excuse because that's what the white person does. So I just feel like your mental health issues really don't have nothing to do with your actions, because I mean, I feel like you could still be in the right state of mind, like you know what you're doing. I don't know if that sounds wrong or not, but that's just in my opinion.
Yeah, I definitely see what Jakira is trying to say. She's kind of trying to say that, you know, people always the police kind of take mental health issues and try to spin them in a negative light and say, well, you know, because of mental health issues, people kill people, which is, I mean, that can be true. You know, people can, you know, have mental health issues and cause them to do that. But what Jakira is trying to say is that, you know, there's fun in a bad light to make it seem like people who struggle with mental health issues like depression and, you know, bipolar disorder and things like that, it makes it seem like people with those issues, you know, they go out and kill people just because, oh, they're depressed, which is, you know, not true a lot of the time. So I think that's what she's basically trying to say. Like, they're always spun into the negative light.
And I want to add how mental health issues, like, with Black people, like, usually, like I was saying, they're usually, like, not as, you know, noticed or brought to attention as it is with white people, because, like, when white people have mental health issues, you know, that's the reason they do stuff. But when Black people do something out of mental health issues, they're crazy or they're thugs, like Elijah McClain. Like, it's like our mental health issues are not as important. Like, they see us, and I think it's because they see us as such strong people because I guess we overcame so much. But, like, it's like nobody's that, especially Black women, nobody's that strong. So, and they're, like, their mental health matters. It doesn't matter how strong you are. You need to stop looking at people as, oh, they're so strong, I don't think it would be anything wrong with them. And actually, you know, take time out of your day and ask people, are they okay? And, you know, talk to people, because when they kill themselves, I'm going to just say it like that. When they kill themselves, you say, oh, I didn't think nothing was wrong, that I was just with them yesterday. And so I just didn't think anything was wrong. So you should, like, take time and talk to your relatives about that before, you know, they're gone.
Oh, I agree with what Chris is saying, and also when some people actually speak up about their mental health issues, a lot of people tend to say they doing it for attention. When it's not for attention, they really feel that way. And so when people actually do commit suicide, everybody going to act surprised when they say something about it, and people just thought they was doing it for attention.
Yeah, I definitely agree with both what Jakira and Chrissy said. You know, and kind of like the main takeaway from what Chrissy said is check on your family and friends and make sure they're doing okay. You know, they might seem happy-go-lucky, but, you know, a lot of times
like I said, people with, you know, mental health issues or struggle with their mental health or similar things like that, they kind of try to keep it covered up because a lot of times they don't want people to know. So, you know, check on your family, check on your friends, your relatives, you know, whoever. Just check on them because you never know what, you know, may be going on. And I'm not saying, you know, you have to, you know, be their therapist. But if they have issues, you know, let them know that you're someone that they can talk to. Or let them know that, you know, you love them. Or, you know, it can be simple actions like that that make somebody, you know, feel like, well, maybe I'm not going through this alone. Because it's already one thing to be, you know, going through something. But make sure they know that they're not going through it alone because that can help so much. And, you know, a lot of things, you know, involving mental health, people think they're little things, but they can have a great impact and they can help so much. And I don't think people realize that. You know, like just calling your friend or texting your friend and saying, hey, how are you today? Or, hey, what are you doing today? You want to, you know, go somewhere together or, you know, things like that. Or just texting your cousin and say, hey, how are you? What you doing? You know, things like that. And you don't realize how much of an impact that could have made until, like Chris said, until they're gone or until, you know, they're, like, in a mental health facility or till they're, you know, in their room and they haven't come out in weeks or whatever the case may be. So I feel like, you know, these situations, and I'm not saying, you know, mental health is preventable or you can escape it or whatever, but they can be in some ways if, you know, if people were to make an effort to care about other people's mental health. I feel like, you know, some of these situations can be avoided. And like I said earlier, mental health isn't something, you know, you don't just wake up and decide, oh, I have depression or something like that. Sometimes it's hereditary and it can run in your family. Or trauma can be passed down. So, yeah. And then I'm kind of switching all over the place. But going back to what Christian said about, you know, Black people being labeled or seen as strong so they don't go through things, you know, with mental health. You know, people say that, but the reason why we are labeled as strong is exactly where, you know, the issues with Black people's mental health begins. And, you know, every time we talk about something, it always leads back to slavery. It always leads back most of the time because, you know, that's kind of where, and I'm not saying that's, you know, exactly where, but for some part, that's where, you know, mental health issues started. And, you know, I mean, and people have had, you know, mental health issues for centuries, but for Black people, that's one of the pinpoints and kind of pinnacles of where mental health issues started. They started there because, you know, if you're a slave and you're seeing your family, you know, get taken away or auctioned away or whatever the case may be, that's going to be very traumatizing, very hurt. But you kind of couldn't say anything about it. You couldn't, you know, say, oh, I'm hurt about this because what it wouldn't have made a difference. So, you know, it's just the fact that we've been taught kind of to bottle up our emotions. And I know me personally, when I bottle my emotions for too long, it's kind of like when you shake up a soda. If you keep shaking it and then you try to open it, it's going to explode. Or if you keep shaking the soda, either way, if you shake it hard enough, it's just going to explode. So, you know, it's kind of like that. We've been taught, you know, you need to bottle up your emotions. But something I see on TikTok, you know, people say, I'm depressed. And then their parents say, oh, go depress those dishes. Like, you know, it's just like those type of things that we don't pay close enough attention to. And we kind of don't see the signs when someone is going through something, whether it may be, you know, like I said, depression or they feel like they, you know, whatever the case may be, we don't see those signs and we don't pay attention because we have been taught as Black people to bottle up our emotions. And, you know, even if you feel like you may be depressed, you know, what you just go do something else to distract your mind and take your mind off of it, which is not the case and which is not healthy. And that's, you know, why I want to talk about this because, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I agree with what Ray was saying about talking to somebody because the ones who look the happiest really be the ones who actually going through stuff. So do check up on your friends and ask them how their day was and just talk to them. so they don't feel alone and by themselves.
Absolutely. Communication is one of the main things to assist anybody in any situation. So here's something. Are we aware of the facts on mental health? And you say in the Black community, how we were taught to, you know, suppress our emotions, our feelings, and that's what causes us to have anger issues and, you know what I'm saying, self-control problems. Because, you know, mental, neurological, and substance abuse makes up like 10% of the global burden on mental health. And the problem with that is that, you know, drugs lead to a lot of situations when it comes to mental disorder, mental abuse. And it says that around 1 in 5 of the world's children and adolescents have mental disorder. So why do you feel that children, let me ask this question, why do you feel that children are having issues with mental disorder when it says like around 1 in 5 of the world's children and adolescents have mental disorder? That's quite a few young people. Why do you feel that's happening with our children so young right now, y'all?
I think so, you know, kind of, once again, speaking from personal experience, I think it's just having this pressure on you and, once again, not feeling like, feeling like you don't have anyone to talk to, but not wanting to talk about it because you don't know what will happen. Because sometimes when people, you know, speak out and talk about their mental health, you know, they're just told, you know, oh, they're just making this up or it's not true. So, you know, once again, not having a good outlet or a good source. And then, again, you know, the stress at school, because my mental health issues, sometimes, like, they kind of stem from stress. Because I put a lot, as a student, I put a lot of stress on myself because, you know, I strive to be, you know, like, in the top 10 academically and stuff like that. So a lot of stress from school, you know, plays the part. And then, you know, like, because in school, you know, we're not taught about what mental health is or how to, you know, handle it, really. So, you know, once again, not knowing how to even express these feelings, let alone not having someone to express them to, but not knowing how to express these feelings or not knowing, because I feel like you can have a mental health problem and not even know that you have one, kind of, in a way, because you can be, you know, stressed all the time, and you can be in your room in the dark, you know, not eating, and not know that that's a mental health issue. So, you know, just to wrap up, you know, lack of education on mental health and stress and not having an outlet is, I think, the reason why so many, you know, youth have these mental health issues.
I feel like part of the reason is probably them seeing how other people speak out and how the public react to it, or how they think their parents will react. Because your parent can be part of the reason why you want these things, and they may not have friends. So I think Ray said, yeah, not knowing how to express it and not having nobody to talk to. So I just feel like that's part of the reason.
I don't know if this is related to topic, but I feel like students go through a lot of mental health issues because it's like, especially with online, before it was kind of easier, you know, to focus on you, but now you're just sitting at home and you have work on top of work, and like, it's like you're not really getting any, you know,
stimulation.
Yeah, you're not stimulation. You're not talking to other people, and your social life is going down, and you're constantly, you know, and outside of the house, it's a pandemic with people constantly still, you know, dying. And it's a lot of things going on in the world right now, and you have to focus on schoolwork and getting all your work done. And I feel like it's an easy way to just give up, you know. So I feel like that, you know, you have to stay on top of that, and you have an extra responsibility. So it affects you mentally because you can't just be, you know, a child. You have to, you know, do schoolwork all the time.
So do you feel that with everything that's going on around, that's why young people are dealing with things so hard, and the depression, because it says depression affects like 264 million people, and this was updated by the World Health Organization just this year. So do you feel that what you just said just now, Chrissy? Let me ask you something. Do you feel that with everybody having to be locked down for that long period of time in isolation from everybody else, that it put a strain on your social life? But do you feel that worrying about our social life has affected us in our personal life and put us with this mental disorder, depression, frustration, and everything, because our social life has changed with being connected with other people and so forth and so on, and we're being at home and stuck in the house and going through certain things, and things are gradually coming back. So do you feel that that has had the major effect on everybody right now?
I definitely feel like the social life thing, but I feel like you're not so much concerned and worried about your social life. It's just happening, you know, and it's constantly, you know, going down. So I feel like maybe worrying about it, but not really even just worrying about your social life.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, steady, you know, going down and stuff. So I feel like, yeah, that's definitely affected your mental health because you have nobody to interact with. And, like, even if you might have strict parents and, you know, now you can't connect with your friends and, you know, you can't, it's no way to escape, you know,
mm-hmm.
what's going on at home. So I feel like it has affected some people's social life.
Oh, well, since I said Layla, she was on this whole time, but she couldn't talk because she was watching her little brother. But she can talk now, so I wanted her to go ahead and answer the question we just answered. You just asked us about why do you think, you know, people our age, young people, have mental health issues. So, Layla, you can go ahead.
I think a lot of people our age have mental health issues because a lot of the time our parents kind of don't see the signs of like mental health issues, and they just like brush it away. But also teenagers, because we sometimes we can't really differentiate like between am I just really sad or am I actually depressed? So we get in that kind of like headspace where am I sad or am I actually depressed? And sometimes we don't really know what the difference is between those two things, and then we end up just getting worse and worse because we don't go to somebody to talk about it, because you may just be sad, but sometimes that sadness can like overtake and like end up becoming depression if you don't talk to somebody about it. So yeah.
That's a communication. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Ray.
I definitely agree with Layla. You know, on that part where she's saying like, am I sad? Am I really depressed or am I just sad? Because, you know, like Layla said, even now that I, you know more about mental health issues, you know, the line between having depression and being sad is kind of like almost a thin line, because, you know, sometimes you can be sad for, you know, a long period of time, but it still might not be depression. So you kind of just don't know. Like Layla said, so, you know, that is an issue because, you know, that's, you know, we have, like I said, we can have a mental illness and not even know it. Like, you can be sad for, you know, a lot of days at a time and then, you know, tear up instantly and think, oh, well, that's just, I was just sad. But, you know, in reality, you could have bipolar depression or something like that. So, you know, like, I'm definitely agreeing with Layla said, we don't have much education on mental health. And I feel like, you know, we're taught about a lot of stuff at school. But I think mental health should be, you know, one of those things, because for a lot of people, school is a main stressor on them, and it is the cause of a lot of people's mental health. Because like I said, like me, I put a lot of pressure on myself. And, you know, like, I feel like if I make a B, like, I feel like I fail, even though, you know, I only made a B. So, you know, like I said, I feel like school should, you know, you know, we should have that education at home with our parents. But, you know, some people don't have that kind of relationship with their parents sometimes. So I feel like schools should start teaching us about this. And I know some people do learn about it at school, but sometimes it's only through, like, you know, one science class or something. But it should be taught, something taught, you know, regardless, like almost every year or whatever. So, you know, and, like, just how they have, like, like awareness for, you know, different things, you know, we should start having like mental health awareness. Like they have breast cancer awareness and domestic violence awareness. And I'm pretty sure there is a mental health awareness day, but it's not really celebrated like in schools, like, you know, other things are. Because, you know, people don't really, well, up until, you know, kind of like now, people didn't really see mental health issues as like as big of a thing as they are. Because, you know, like I said, mental health issues can be detrimental to someone's life, and, you know, cost them their life. So I feel like they should be, like I said, what we're doing right now, highlight those issues and talk about them and discuss them, because it is a topic that a lot of people shy away from because it's a very sensitive topic. And, you know, like today we're talking about mental health, but, you know, if you were talking about, you know, the wide range of different mental health issues and related topics, you know, it can span so wide. So that's why I feel like, you know, it should just be talked about more, so we don't have to spend as much time talking about just one little section or one little area, because it's a wide variety and range of different things.
I saw another thing mental health is like, if you're going through it at a young age, a lot of people say it don't really matter because you're young and you don't know what you're talking about. But I feel like if you're young and you say you're going through something, people should take it more serious. It doesn't matter the age. I'm pretty sure a lot of people know what they feel and what they're going through.
If no one knows better but you, you know, depression... And it's one of the biggest issues of mental disorder. When you look at the numbers, you get to see a lot of things about how big the numbers are, and even in the different communities. Because listen to what the National Alliance on Mental Illness says, that by the demographics of the groups of people, it says that non-Hispanic Asians 14.4%, non-Hispanic whites is 22.2%. But listen to this. It said non-Hispanic black or African American relates about 17.3% of all mental disorder cases. And this was just updated. So do you feel that when it comes to African Americans, the black race, do you feel that they are overlooked when it comes to mental illness and everything that has to do with it, bipolarism, depression, and all of the things that are going on? Do you feel that it gets a lot of attention like it should? Because you're saying that maybe something in class, in school, should be taught about mental disorders because it begins before the age of 14. It starts as a child, adolescent. So how do you feel about when it comes to making sure that classes are being taught, even at school, even at church? Because one thing about it is that when we talk about these things, a lot of times we have taken God out of things. We've taken God out of the schools. God is not in a lot of homes. And a lot of people may not feel the same way that I feel, may not feel the same way you feel. But don't you think that there should be something that's going on besides just brushing it under the rug? Shouldn't we be doing more about addressing? Because I know that their numbers should be much higher in the African American community than what they put out there. How do y'all feel about that?
I feel like I definitely agree with what you said, but I also feel like deep down inside, okay, God would help, but just praying to God won't help your mental health. Sometimes you actually need help. Like, just praying to God is not going to solve your mental health issues. Sometimes you need actual help, and I feel like that's what the black community says a lot, is pray to God, you know, go to church,
you're
feel better.
you know, that doesn't, that, most of the time that doesn't solve anything. Sometimes people actually need help.
You're absolutely correct.
You know, coinciding with what Krista said, you know, God can help for some people, though. You know, like, because some people, that is their outlet. Like, everybody has a different outlet. Like, sometimes therapy doesn't work for some people. So, you know, God can be your outlet and the person you talk to. Or, you know, meditation can help. Whatever helps, helps, which is, you know, kind of the point. And then, you know, answering your question more so, you know, should we bring a light to this? Absolutely. And like you said, it being taught, not only in school, because, you know, school is one main part, but also in church or, you know, at community centers. I feel like as many places as you can teach somebody something or as many places people can learn something, that's where it should be learned about. Because you can never shine too much light on something. Like, so I feel like, you know, putting people learning about mental health every anywhere that they can, you know, will always be beneficial to us. Because, you know, even if you don't struggle with your mental health, knowing about these things may not, you may not need it to help you, but it can help you. Knowing this information, you know, could help somebody else. You know, because you could have a, like I said, you could have a friend or a family member who's struggling with their mental health and you might not even know it. So, you know, knowing these things and knowing this information and knowing how to deal with people who struggle with mental health issues or have mental health issues, it can help them. Even if, you know, because it shouldn't just be taught, you know, you only need to learn these things if you are having an issue. Like, it should be taught whether you are having issues or not. Even if you don't know anybody who is, it doesn't matter. These are still things that should be taught, in my opinion.
I agree with Ray, because if you are educated about it, you maybe can help other people who is going through it, even if you aren't going through it.
Yeah. Hmm. So true, so true. So true. I will say this, though, that Chrissy is right, that, you know, guess what? Prayer does change things. We do need God in all things. I got to say that. God is the main source, but you do need extra help. There are people that need therapists. There are people that need doctors. There are people that need to go see a neurologist. So yes, that is so true. And we need to make sure that y'all said it, everybody has said it, that, you know, let's make sure that we constantly checking on our family members and our friends, because we don't know what people are going through. And if we're not communicating properly, we won't ever know. I feel that that's one of the major problems that we have in our communities. And this is just not in Black communities. This is all communities, that it's the lack thereof communication. Don't y'all feel that when we are, and everybody, please participate and answer this for me, because don't you feel that if we are communicating with each other, that eventually somebody is going to open up and tell you what it is that's troubling them once we start opening up and communicating and start building our trust back with each other, because it's absent right now? Don't y'all feel that that would help with a lot of mental disorder issues that are going on right now?
I definitely think so, because you know, once you do talk about someone with these issues, and even if you're not talking about them with these issues, once you do get comfortable and stuff, you're comfortable enough to start telling them, and then, you know, maybe you all can take, you know, steps toward, in the right direction towards, you know, helping you and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely think so, that, you know, opening up and talking to each other can help people express, feel comfortable. Because, you know, when you don't talk about mental health, you, it's kind of, you know, just left out there. So you don't know how people are going to, you know, judge you when you do open up and talk about these issues. But if, you know, you open up with people and everybody is open about it and talking about it, then, yeah, you are going to tell them. Because, you know how they feel about mental health, and you know that they think it's okay to have, you know, it's a normal thing to have mental health issues.
I also agree, and I feel like that way nobody will feel alone. They have people to talk to about it, and they know that other people experience the same thing, so they won't feel alone. They won't feel ashamed of, you know, going through mental health issues and feel like they have nobody to talk to, and they need to hold that in.
Yeah, Okay. Okay. Is everybody else still on the line? I only hear Ray and Chrissy. Listen, how about this right here? Because when you talk about that right there, the lack there of communication, statistics show that it says that almost 800,000 people die by suicide every year, right? It says one person dies from suicide every 40 seconds. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in individuals age 15 to 29 years old. It says one person dies from suicide every 40 seconds. Talk about that right there, because those are some serious numbers, y'all. That's serious right there.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, that is really serious because, you know, like I think Chrissy might have said it earlier, but, you know, we don't really notice, you know, mental health until people, you know, end up, you know, committing suicide. So it's really important that we highlight mental health so we don't have, so that rate can go down, that every 40, it's not every 40 seconds that someone commits suicide, because that is really astronomical. That, you know, every 40 seconds that's happening. And it's because, you know, sometimes they don't have an outlet, like you were saying, you know, somebody to talk to, or, you know, nobody's pausing to check up on them. And that may not always be the case, because sometimes, you know, you can make all the efforts and it can still happen. But, you know, I'm pretty sure if we were more open and we talked more about mental health, then these things wouldn't be happening, you know, like you said, every 40 seconds as much as they do. And, you know, even if we can't lower that rate, still open, like just reiterating that, open up, talk about it, you know, start talking with, if you're grown, start talking to your kids about mental health. If you're a kid, start asking your friends about it, or start talking to your parents about it, either way. So, yeah.
I feel like every 40 seconds, that is really crazy, cause, and I had also seen this thing on, well, I think I seen it on the website. It's like a website where you can see the rate of the suicide tolls, and it, like, go up every second almost. And my answer to the question you had asked, like, before this, is I feel like if everyone is opening up about their mental health issues, more people would be more comfortable. If they see everybody else doing, they would be more comfortable in talking about their mental health issues too, because like I said, most people don't talk about it for real, because not a lot of people do it, so they don't want to feel like they feel different.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. You know, they won't feel like they're different or weird or strange because they, you know, struggle with this. If, you know, people talked about it more amongst their friends or with their parents or with whoever. So, yeah, I definitely agree that mental health should be a normalized topic because, you know, like I said, it's not normalized. And people don't talk about how, you know, it's normal to struggle with these things. It's not abnormal, and it doesn't make you weird. It doesn't make you out of the ordinary. It doesn't make you strange or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, that's, like I said, that should be brought to, you know, everybody's attention, because when it is, people are more likely to, you know, express themselves and tell what they're feeling. And also, you know, going back to, you know, like therapy thing and stuff like that, we should also normalize that it's okay to, you know, go to therapy, because, you know, a lot of people think, like, if you go to therapy, oh, you're crazy, you're a lunatic, this, that, and the third, when, you know, you don't even have to struggle with your mental health to go to therapy. You could be, you know, not have any mental health issues and still talk to a therapist, because, you know, therapy is a good outlet. Even if you, like I said, you don't go through anything like that, just to get stuff off your chest with somebody who, you know is going to not disclose your information to anybody and who is there to listen to you and help you if you do have a problem. So we should, you know, normalize, you know, going to therapy. And I'm not saying everybody has to go to therapy, but normalize, you know, going to therapy, even if there may not be anything wrong with you, just to have somebody to talk to who is a professional and, you know, will tell you right from wrong and not just agree with you because they're your best friend or whatnot, you know, who will actually tell you, you know, the smart decisions to make and if you do have issues, you know, how to break those issues down and ways to solve your problems and things like that.
Okay.
And, like, race, I do feel like we should learn about it in school because we really do learn about everything but mental health issues. And when we do learn about it, it's just, if you're going, it'd be like something short, like a Quizlet, whatever it's called. And they just tell you, go to the counselor if you're feeling some type of way. And also, I seen how they do the suicide hotline, how whenever you call, they send the police to your house. And I feel like they shouldn't do that because that's probably part of the reason they probably felt comfortable talking to them. And they sent the police to their house. And I don't know, I just feel like that's wrong because it probably would make it worse. Probably.
Hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely agree with Jakira, what she was saying about, you know, counselor and the suicide hotline. Because, you know, some counselors are really, really good with dealing with these issues. But, you know, some counselors aren't. And, you know, that's really a problem because, you know, and a lot of adults are supposed to be there for, you know, for you to talk to them. And then they're not. And, like, for example, like counselors, you know, if you are struggling with mental health, sometimes they just turn around and tell your parents, which I think is smart. And if you're, like, trying to harm yourself and others. But sometimes you don't really want anybody, like, you don't feel open to tell your parents because, you know, your parents might have a negative reaction or your parents might do this and that. So, yeah, and then, you know, what Kara said about the suicide hotline, like, I've seen on social media people say they called the suicide hotline and, like, the people had an attitude with them or things like that, which is just crazy because you're calling them because you need help because you're thinking about taking your own life and they're having an attitude with you or they send the police, which will make you not want to ever call again if you are facing some type of issue, which is a problem because, you know, you want people to be able to call them if they don't have anyone else to talk to, like their parents maybe. They don't have a good relationship with them or, you know, or whatever it may be, and they just need someone to talk to. You don't want them to have the police called on them. And I know some situations, like if someone says, like, they're thinking about doing it right that second, then that is understandable. But, you know, not all situations are the same.
That's true. You know, one thing about the mental health hotline. Now this is the National Alliance on Mental Illness with these facts. Listen to this right here. One reason why they turn their back and don't want you to really report this is because these are stats. It says across the U.S. economy, serious mental illness causes $193.2 billion in lost earnings each year. Now listen, it also says that it causes of hospitalization for all people in the U.S., it causes that rate to go up simply because people go in and get checked out and they're not paying their hospitalization bill or whatever the case may be. So the economy is losing money based on mental illness. Now, these are their stats. So how do you feel about that? Because you just said it. They called the police on you. That's not what they need to be doing, but because you may be getting ready to commit suicide, something's going on, maybe talking first. Don't you feel that something needs to be done? How do you feel that situation needs to be handled when someone is calling that suicide hotline? How do you feel that needs to be handled? You don't think the police needs to be called? You don't think anyone needs to be sent to that house? If I call you and say, hey, I'm about to kill myself, you... What? How do you feel that needs to be handled?
I feel like, I mean, in some cases, yeah, if they about to commit suicide, I feel like the police should be called. But if they just there to talk, I just feel like it should be some form of like therapy.
I definitely agree. Like if they say like they're about to commit suicide, you know, right then in that moment, then yes, you know, the police and the paramedics could be called to their house. But if they just say, oh, I've been thinking about committing suicide or I've had suicidal thoughts, I think they should try to, you know, de-escalate that situation and calm them down and ask them, but why are you having these thoughts? Why do you think you're having these thoughts? You know, is there anything going wrong at home that may be causing these thoughts, you know, things like that? Excuse me. They should be, you know, asking questions and trying to help. Because I feel like that's really what it's there for. I think it's called the suicide hotline, but it could kind of be like a mental health hotline if you just, you're in a situation and you don't have, you know, maybe you don't have enough money to go to a therapist, or maybe you're scared to actually, you know, go to a therapist or someone professional, and you need someone to talk to about these issues because you don't know what else to do. Like, you don't know why you're feeling these emotions, or you know you're feeling these emotions, but you want to stop feeling those emotions, things like that. So I definitely think if they're saying, like, hey, I'm about to do this right now, then yes, call the police, call the paramedics so that can stop. But if they just need, you know, honest help, you know, because they don't know why they're feeling this way, or they need help to stop feeling this way, then yeah, I think, you know, they shouldn't call the police.
Okay. All right.
I think it's reasonable. It's understandable to call the police, but a lot of times when the police are called in these types of situations, they are kind of harsh on the person and like putting them in handcuffs and all of that. And I think maybe it's like they can be a little bit not harsh on the person, and maybe once the police are called, instead of like being like real harsh and acting like this person is a criminal, tell the guardian or whoever of the house, and maybe try to get them to talk the person down and help them, and like just get the police to tell the guardian of the house, because whoever is there, to help them and try to talk them down instead of like treating that person like they're a criminal, because they are going through something and they're not trying to harm someone else, they're trying to harm themselves, and they need help, and treating them not like a criminal isn't going to help them. So I understand why they call the police, but the police need to handle those types of situations in a different way than what they have been doing over the years.
Okay.
Agree with. I feel like if someone is having suicidal thoughts, I feel like you shouldn't call the police, because first of all, they're already having suicidal thoughts, and that could put a lot of pressure on them and give them a lot of anxiety, because they don't know what's going on in the moment. Or even if they do, it's a lot going on at that moment with police sirens and the police. And sometimes the police are not always, you know, the best option, especially like if you're black, because before they see you as anything, they're going to see you as a black person, and it's probably not going to end well. So I feel like in some situations you shouldn't call the police. Now if they're on the verge of killing themselves, like they're about to jump off the cliff, then maybe, but it's not like you're going to be there in time. But yeah.
Okay. All right, y'all, we're coming across the top of the hour. We thank y'all for turning us on. You're listening to Youth Talk. It's Breaking Change. YAT Radio is on. Heard every Friday afternoon. Get involved in the conversation, 858-357-9137. You like to have a conversation with our young people, have a topic you want them to discuss, send us an email at webreakingchains@gmail.com. We're live streaming at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be right on back. Hang on.
It's time to get the conversation started. Young Adults Talk presents Breaking Change. Youth Talk. Let's sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and how they feel about the society they live in today. It's Breaking Change, Youth Talk, every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back, relax, and let's enjoy the conversation being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions.
Oh, OD.
God.
Under to the head of my life. Yeah. Waiting on God for the green light.
Yeah.
Don't wanna be in the spotlight. Well, I done been under street light.
Yeah.
You'll see soul if the price right.
Yeah.
Get one on your life for the street light.
Yeah.
If you know the code, you a real one.
Hey.
No cap, but I really got nine lives.
Yeah.
Pull up to the crew like, what's up?
What's up?
Cause you feeling bad and fed up. Mind full of thoughts, so crossed up. Tears in the eyes, she fed up.
Yeah.
Sis, need help, so I'm in up. Lay hands and I start praying. Say she feel a little better. But then the help only got worse.
Yeah.
Waking up feeling like we back in. Then I heard a phone conversation. And I'm like, that ain't even my wife. She's somebody better tell me something.
Yeah.
Since she going out of mind. Different to the baby to keep her. Fast forward 3 months later. My God, the healer, no mental illness. That's God.
People break chains
with Young Adults Talk right here on YAT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show as we kick off the second hour. What's going on with you? Pastor Rod hanging out with you. I am your co-host. I'm going to turn the mic back over to our host and our hostesses, okay? And they're talking about mental health this afternoon. All right, ladies, let's jump back into this conversation. Mental health is very serious out here. What do we need to do to help to curtail the situation and bring the numbers down that are skyrocketing right now? And I'm talking about the numbers that we see. What about the numbers that we don't see or hear about? All of the cases that are not being reported, people that are not, that are trying to deal with it on their own. What about the people that are walking down the street, talking to themselves, spaced out and going through things? What do we need to do about these situations, lady? Everybody comment on that, because I would like to hear y'all's solution to this problem that we're dealing with right now.
In my opinion, a solution to this problem to be, you know, like I, you know, said and reiterated, education on these topics, and, you know, not to people who just have the mental health issues and problems, but people who don't, because, you know, it's useful to know this information, and this information can be so, you know, powerful, so that, you know, when you see someone, you know the signs of them. So maybe, you know, and you know that you can help, you know, that you can help them, and you know how to help them. And then, you know, educating people about this in schools and stuff, because, you know, some people, I said it before, some people have mental health issues and they may not know, or they might not be sure. So, you know, education is my main thing. Educate, because, you know, you can't really bring light to these cases unless people know that they exist and, you know, are educated about how they may exist. So, yeah.
I feel like you could bring light to mental health cases that people don't know about by talking about it more in schools and, you know, asking people, just checking on people, because that will bring light to the topic, just checking on them to see if they are okay. They are okay and what their mental state is at that moment. So, you know, just checking on them and also talking about it and putting that more out in, like, the public, like social media, because everybody's on social media, you know, you can bring light to it by talking about it on social media and, like, I'm not saying share your experiences, but, you know, make people feel like it's normal.
Okay.
One way I feel like you can bring light to it is, like, what Chris was saying, normalizing it and making people feel more comfortable about talking about their mental health issues, and also finding better ways to help get them through it, like talking to them and stuff, and letting them know that they're not alone or going through it by themselves.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So we've already discussed that this issue is not talked about enough. The facts on it is not being put out there, and even how to deal with these situations is not talked about enough. So when we see all of the mental health issues that are going on, and especially the depression, and it's hard sometimes to be able to know who's going through something unless we're talking to people or they're trusting you enough to open up. So when we talk about that, do you feel that the numbers of mental health, you see the commercial with the lady that holds the little fan, look like a mask on, and when people come and talk to her, she puts the mask up in front of her face and you know, like hiding herself, her self-esteem is very low. You know what I'm saying? She's dealing with something. Do you feel like people that are dealing with mental health issues right now, that their self-esteem is so low that it puts them in depression, that they don't know how to address this issue because maybe they don't know what it is, but they know that they're dealing with something and maybe their families is putting them down? Do you feel that, guess what, that they just, y'all talked about it, but there are no outlets. There are not enough outlets. How does somebody approach their issue? How do they open up? How do you, what suggestion would you give to somebody that's out there listening to you right now that is dealing with this issue? How would you tell them to confront their issue of depression, frustration, you know, things that causes mental disorder? They can't sleep, you know, they can't eat, the appetite is lousy. What would you say to them right now that are dealing with some issues like this but don't know how to confront it? What would you say to them?
I would say, kind of speaking from, you know, personal experience, you know, if you're a younger, you know, child or a teen, you know, go try to talk to your parents, or if not your parents, you know, an adult you trust, go open up to them about it. And if you don't know where to start, just say, hey, I think I might be, you know, experiencing depression, or I think I might have depression. But, you know, things that you can do before that is, you know, research, you know, like what depression is, and research like bipolar disorder, research, you know, anxiety, having anxiety, you know, research things like that so you can learn about them, you know, and so you know whether or not, because sometimes, you know, like you said, you don't know if you don't know what's going on. You just know you might have, you know, something going on. And then, you know, like you said about the commercial with the lady with the, you know, happy face that she's, you know, putting on a mask, you know, open up with, you know, people that you, you know, trust taking your mask off in front of, because you don't have to, you know, make yourself appear happy just to please others and just so, you know, other people, you know, won't get upset. You know, don't force yourself to, you know, be so happy-go-lucky and do this and do that just because you think it will make other people happy. Do things that you think will make you happy and that will make you feel better.
Okay.
I would like to say to teenagers, or you, excuse me, you know, just people in general battling these issues, is that I would like to tell them that they're not alone. You know, other people think that, and I feel like what Ray said, find somebody that you feel comfortable telling that to, you know, and try to open up to your parents about it. You know, don't just put that, because I get finding someone that you feel comfortable talking to about that. But don't just put that on them, because that can cause them a lot of stress too. Open up to your parents about it and tell them so they can help you get help, you know, because just don't hold it in, because holding it all in, you know, it can make it worse. So you may think, oh, I don't want to bother anyone with my issues, but you should, you know, express what you're thinking, because when you hold it in, it makes it worse.
I wanted to add on about, like, what Christy was saying. Just go to, like, basically anybody. I understand that a lot of times you might feel more comfortable talking with a friend than you would a parent or somebody. But it's best if you go to maybe not if it's not your parents, a guardian or auntie, a teacher or somebody. Somebody, an adult, rather than a friend, because in a lot of times in these situations, somebody will go to their friend, and their friend don't really know how to help them, and then their friend knows, but they're not doing anything about it because they don't really know what to do about it. So then the person they kind of get worse, because they told this friend who's like around the same age as them, and who isn't really capable of helping them in those types of situations. Because, like I said, I understand that it's probably easier to talk to a friend about things like this, but it's not the best thing to do, because they're either probably going through the same thing as you, or they may not be going through the same thing as you, but they still don't understand, or like they're not going to be able to really help you or tell you what you should or shouldn't do. So it's best to go to an adult that you trust, if that be a teacher or somebody that can help you. But a friend, it's good to talk to your friends, but it's a lot of weight to put on your friends about, like, these situations, especially if you got, like, suicidal thoughts. Going to a friend about that, I don't want to say it burdens them, but like it's a lot of pressure to like know stuff about that, because you may be in a situation where what do I tell their parents, or do I keep this to myself? And that's a lot of pressure and stress for another teenager to be going through.
Yeah, like real friend with that, I definitely agree, because you know a lot of people who are teenagers, just because we're saying educate, you know, even if you do know how to deal with those things, it can be hard when it's your friend or someone you're close to. And also, you know, like Leslie said, they could be, you know, going through something as well. So definitely, I think, you know, if you do talk to your friends about it, you know, ask them first if they're comfortable with that, because, you know, you have to set boundaries and respect people's boundaries. So, you know, ask them if they're comfortable, like, or just, you don't have to say, are you comfortable, but say, hey, can I talk to you? I've been having some mental health issues and stuff like that. Would you be comfortable to talk about it, or can I talk to you about it? You know, you don't have to be formal with it, but, you know, don't just go in and say, hey, I would, you know, don't just force it onto them. And I'm not, you know, trying to make it seem like you're not the one who needs the help. But, you know, you don't want to, you know, make a bad situation worse by, you know, putting all your issues to someone who might not even be mentally ready to handle that themselves.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, like, don't talk to your friends, because it is to talk to friends, especially if y'all are going through similar things, or maybe even if y'all aren't going through similar things, you can educate them about the situation. So I'm not saying don't talk to your friends at all, but sometimes they're not really able to handle that. So yeah, talk to them and ask them, is this okay? Because sometimes they don't really feel comfortable talking about situations like that, or like they may have other things going on and that isn't really something they're able to handle at the moment. So of course, just like ask, or like whatever, like your relationship with your friends is, I get that. So I'm not just saying, like, don't talk to your friends at all.
Okay.
So do you feel, here's a question for you. let's go to the African American community. Do you feel that by our people not knowing their true history, where they come from and who they are, do you feel that that has that plays a major role in the mental disorder of our people because of the lack there of the knowledge of the history, that we just feel that maybe we just were slaves and nothing else, that you know what I'm saying, that we don't know that we existed at the beginning of time, being the most powerful people on earth? Do you feel that us not knowing the facts of us, that has a lot to do? Because I heard you, Ray, say something earlier about it being hereditary, that mental disorder. Do you feel that by us not knowing who we are and whose we are, that we've lost touch and that causes issues with that?
First, I want to say Shakira had to leave early. But, yeah, I definitely agree, you know, with, you know, not knowing these things, because we don't know. Sometimes it's hereditary, but we don't necessarily know who or what it stems from sometimes. And then, you know, yeah, I definitely agree, you know, with what you're saying. It stems all the way back to those things. Because, you know, like I said about, you know, bottling up our emotions, you know, you kind of just, a lot of people, you know, don't really think it's okay, especially for, like, black men. Because I've met a lot of men who like, if I talk about, oh, I cried yesterday, they'd be like, oh, I don't cry. Which I'm just like, why though? Like, it shouldn't be a normalized thing for, you know, men to go around saying, oh, I don't cry. Because crying is really healthy. Like, you know, it might sound like a bad thing, but I know a lot of people know crying is really healthy and it's really a good thing. And I understand, like, if, you know, crying isn't for you, that's fine. But, you know, we should make it to where young men, young boys aren't taught, you know, don't cry, bottle up your emotions, don't tell anybody about your emotions, this and that, because it's okay to cry, and crying is a really good outlet. Like, sometimes some people don't need to talk about it, they just need to cry about it and, you know, feel that emotion, and then, you know, it's over with sometimes. So, yeah, I definitely think it has to do, you know, with those things. Because, yeah, you know, a lot of men are, you know, taught, like, don't ever cry, don't ever show your emotions, which can really hurt you. Like, if you're not showing any emotions and you're bottling up your emotions, it's going to make it, you know, 1,000 times worse, in my opinion. Because, you know, you're not letting that go. You're kind of just keeping it inside. And you're always going to be thinking about it, and it's always going to be in your mind.
Okay. I like that.
And to add on what Ray was saying about it, a lot of times that sadness, it could turn into anger, and a lot of times people take that anger out on other people because they're sad and they don't know how to deal with the sadness, so they end up just turning that sadness into angriness, and then the anger gets taken out on other people, and people don't understand why they're taking out this anger on them or why they're being like that. And sometimes it gets to a point where that person will just break down. And that's not a good thing, to just hold all your emotions in until you just break down.
I agree. Totally agree.
I think that our past has had an effect on, you know, our mental health, because not even our mental health personally, but what people see us as, because people see us more as strong people who have overcame things, and they don't really think about our mental health. And even if we're past, like, and if you're referring to past, you could say past trauma. A past trauma definitely can have an effect on your mental health, you know, well, that's obvious, you know, has. It's traumatic, and you can still think about it, and it can affect you to this day. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
And I think one thing in the black community, a lot of, not all, but a lot of parents, you know, do things to their children that can be, like, deeply traumatizing and stuff, but they don't really realize it. And, you know, the child doesn't really say anything, or because they don't, you know, want to get in trouble or whatnot. But parents, not even just black parents, you know, all types of parents, they do stuff to their child that is traumatizing to them. Excuse me. And then they don't realize the effect that it has on the child. And, you know, those things, when they're not addressed, you know, when their child is a child, is really young, you know, they carry those things into adulthood, and then they have to grow up and, you know, kind of resolve those issues on their own. And if they don't resolve those issues, they end up taking them out on their child. And, you know, it just creates a vicious cycle because, you know, one child can resolve their conflict with their mom, and then they grow up to be a mom, and then they put those things on their child, and then they grow up. And then they, so it's just one vicious cycle. And, you know, that cycle is still going on today, which is why, you know, Black people's mental health is the way it is. And then, you know, we've talked a lot about therapy and stuff, but, you know, Black people also train people for, you know, like, taking things like antidepressants and stuff. And, like, you know, sometimes that is what people need. Like, everybody is different. So, you know, sometimes antidepressants do help some people. But in the Black community, you know, people are ashamed because they're like, you don't even need that. You just need to, you know, go do this or go do that. When sometimes people do need that. And so when people are ashamed for doing these things, they're less likely to do them. And then they don't get the help that they need, which leads to, you know, suicide and things like that. So it's just all like one cycle or one loop, whatever you want to call it. But it all connects to each other in some way. And, you know, that's what I really like about talking about, you know, topics like this. Because you get to kind of see, like, when you talk about, you know, each, like, kind of sector, you get to see how they all connect and how they all bridge and come back to each other. And, you know, just like mental health, you know, the lack of education and, you know, not going to therapy has to do with the past. And then it just becomes one big cycle and one big kind of circle. It all connects within each other.
Okay. Sounds really good. Like the way y'all doing this and got this going. So where are we now when it comes to any, do we have any solutions? What are our solutions before we wrap this up? What are your solutions, ladies?
My main solution, you know, for adults listening, is educate your children on mental health and what, you know, being mentally healthy is. You know, and for, you know, teenagers or adolescents, do your, you know, if your parents are teaching you these things, do your own research and learn about it for yourself. But and then after you learn about it for yourself, go and talk to your parents about it because, you know, they might not, you know, even though adults do know, you know, a good amount, they might not know that much about it. So, you know, once you research and learn about it, go educate your parents about it. And go educate your younger siblings about it. So my main thing is educate your kids, educate your family, and educate yourself.
Okay.
My solution would be talking to someone. No matter if you're an adult, a kid, or whatever, talk to someone. Express your emotions. Don't bottle up those emotions because, like I said, carrying around all that can really make your mental health worse. So I would say talk to someone. And, you know, yeah.
Okay. Perfect. All right, let's open up our lines and take some phone calls from some adults hanging on. Got a couple pastors hanging on. Want to open up the line to them. We got our overseer, so we'll save him for last. Let's open up. Pastor Joseph is here. God bless you, sir. Good afternoon. Our youth are talking about mental health today. What comments do you have for them talking about this mental health issue, sir? Good afternoon to you. God bless.
Amen. God bless. Praise the Lord, everybody. Like the young lady was saying, they were so correct. I got to agree with them. Just continue to reach out. Ain't nothing wrong with reaching out and researching things of that nature. Studying is an action word. That's even why the Bible says study, because when you study, you actually putting this thing into action. So continue to be, you know, a good worker for the Lord and things in that nature, and just continue to strive for greatness and can surround yourself around people, you know, that's striving for greatness, and be careful who you hang around and get your advice from, But it's so important to get advice from wise people. You got a lot of foolish people, so you got to be careful in that nature. You got a lot of careless people, so you got to be careful. But who you get your information from is very, very important. Very important. Keep up the great work. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much for those positive words to our young ladies. All right, our overseer is hanging on. I want to say good afternoon. God bless him, and thank you for being here this afternoon. God bless you, Pastor Kemp. Our young ladies are talking about mental illness today, sir. What do you have for them today on that? God bless you. Good afternoon.
God bless each and everyone, and God bless these young ladies for the magnificent job that they're doing. They are so
Amen.
Correct with everything that they said, and we should educate our parents on the same thing. I've been trying to teach different congregations and also at the seminary. The thing about it, the black African-American community have been traumatized for many, many years. You could go into a public school and ask how many kids have seen a dead body, how many people hear gunshots at night, how many people who their parents call spanking them, beat them, and treat them rough and things. And the kids are traumatized by whites. They're traumatized the way society is. They're traumatized because so many of them are doing their best. It's okay to cry. Cry is a release. Jesus even wept about the sorrow he saw in Jerusalem when he came in on Palm Sunday. Now, but I want to just say, if you ever pay close attention to if a white kid is killed, the next day at school, they have counselors come to counsel them. Our children is exposed to it 24/7, but no one ever tried to counsel them. So they suffer from what you call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because what they see, what they hear, and it's been passed down from generation to generation. Today, we don't know how to handle problems in our community because we have been so used to seeing the police and other beat us until we take it out on our own people. We're just not people that believe in counseling. And it was so wonderful to hear the young ladies talk about, you have to teach it to your parents, and your parents should start adhering to the children sometimes. Because some of them really don't have the intellectual background, I would say, to understand that when you go through hardships, it traumatizes you. It, even being very, very poor is a trauma to some. Some, just a very few people are able to overcome it. But through counseling and direction, you can. But I want you to pay close attention if there's a mass murder, if whatever they have, dealing with white schools, they have counselors to come in that very next day and to talk to the kids. They will tell them if anybody's having any problem, they can talk to a person. Our children, especially with the young men, they go, be a man. Like, things don't supposed to hurt you. Girl, I tell their daughters, I've been through rougher times than this. Well, first of all, you're not the same person. And this is a whole different genre that these kids are going through. And excuse me, young ladies, for calling you kids. I have grandkids that's finished college and older. So excuse me, I don't mean anything. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm 69. But I've been teaching seminary, and I've been dealing with the school system. I've taken and just regular college, just at Southern University. I've had psychology and all these other courses too. And I don't see us doing it with our children and in the African-American community, which, as I say, you could ask the kids, how many of them hear gunshots at night? How many of them, some of them will tell you they have to lay on the floor Some of them will tell you, have you seen a dead body? Someone get killed, the kids go out and see it, not knowing that they're traumatized. They're afraid when they go around different places that when they see a group of kids start dancing and jumping up and down and talking, gathering, that it's going to be a shootout and they could be killed. See, these kids are traumatized, even at school. So you never know what's going to happen. And so with me saying that, I'm just so happy to hear these young ladies coming out saying that their kids are traumatized. And the parents do it sometimes by the way they call themselves discipline a kid. The Bible says about the rod of correction, but the rod didn't say you beat a child. I was never beat. I was spanked. I mean, I was spanked, don't get me wrong, but I was never beat where I was traumatized. I knew when I was about to get spanked, but I never was traumatized because my mother never tried to mock us or do anything like that, but she did it right when we knew what we had did wrong. And it saved all of us, you know, from a lifetime in prison. But at the same time, and she pushed education. I think that from the perspective that the young ladies are speaking from, they're saying that we need some psychologists, psychiatrists to come in our community because the people have been traumatized. Our adult, older black family members have been traumatized. I know I've been traumatized because something I went through. I went through some things that if I would talk about them dealing with white folks, dealing with police officers, how they traumatized our neighborhood. Now I'm an activist, and I tell them that right now in Baton Rouge, that so many of the drug police are being arrested and about stealing drugs and putting drugs back on the streets. I told them that about 5 or 6 years ago that it was the police had a lot of the drugs that's on the street come from the police department. The people looked at me like I was crazy. But I had friends of mine that sold for them, so I already knew how that goes. And it's just not on television that goes on. As many things that's going on now, being an activist and trying to get some psychologists and psychiatrists into the school, which the counselors, a lot of counselors have had a lot of the courses with it, and to identify kids that's being abused and kids with psychological problems. And when you lose a loved one, you lose a friend, it's okay to cry, male or female, it's okay to cry. The young lady say it's like a relief. It is a relief. And then you cry it out, then you talk about it. And everyone needs someone that they can go to and express their hurt and the way that they are feeling. We need outlets, and our parents should be our best friend that we could go to without being judgmental against the person. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go. My daughter got pregnant right after coming to the end of high school. And when she got pregnant, her mother and myself were separated. And her mother told her, said, oh, Lord, if you tell your father, he's going to flip. He's going to cut her so bad. And I always had conversation with my daughter. I told my daughter, I said, if you're pregnant or something like that, you better not ever get an abortion. You bring me that child if I have to raise the child myself. So my daughter came to me and she said, Dad, I need to talk with you. She came by my house. I need to talk with your dad. And I said, okay. She said, I don't want you to be mad with me, but you told me that if I ever have a child, don't have an abortion, that you would take care of the child. I knew where she was going. And then she told me that she was pregnant. And I asked her, I said, have you had prenatal care? You need me to take you to the doctor? And I could have flipped because I taught her better. But that was a mistake she made. I couldn't call that back, and I wasn't going to never call my grandchild back. And so she went to college. After her first semester, she had the child. But my daughter has a master's degree now. She has a master's degree. But what I'm trying to say it's the way that you could communicate with your kids where they could come and be their best friend. They could talk to you. You could be a mother or father and be your kid's friend. But you have to allow them to make some mistakes. And they have to learn that they don't have to make certain mistakes if they listen at you too. God bless you, young ladies. You're doing a wonderful job, and I pray that you pass the word which you're speaking on right now to your friends in school and those who you associate with, and then talk to your parents about it. Because some of them, you may think they know certain things, and they're not aware of them. Now, like I said, I speak to my congregation, and different times I speak, being an activist, I'd be at different race meetings, different things where I speak concerning to white people, I Caucasian, whatever you want to call them. I let them know that you have all these things for your kids, but we don't have anything for our kids. And then so when we send a damaged good to school, it's because of society allow them to get damaged through just life. And people act like that they don't understand that, yes, you know, we send our children already damaged by the shootings and the death and the gunfire around the community and all the fights that break out at the schools and stuff. They're traumatized. Kids are scared of being bullied. Kids are scared they can't say things because they might get hurt. So kids are traumatized. I love all you guys, and God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for that. For these young ladies, they need to hear that, and the young people that are out there listening. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, all the young ladies get their final comment, and we're going to give our Black History and Health tip for this afternoon. Hang on. We'll be right back. It's Breaking Chains Youth Talk on YAT Radio. We live, y'all.
Just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Woo!
Never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrors to
they look like us, but we know who we trust. Trust when I say that we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright.
Tell them.
We gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder.
Day.
Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, and shame.
Shame the beast, the beast.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine.
Let it burn.
Promise me
we gon' be alright.
Oh Jesus,
we gon'
Youth Night.
Listen to our young people break chains.
With Young Adults Talk, right here on YAT Radio.
All right, all right, all right. That's what we got to tell ourselves sometimes, y'all. It's going to be all right. All right, welcome back to the show, Breaking Chains. You talking this Friday afternoon. Pastor Raw hanging out with you with our young people, man, with a powerful show, Mental Health. All right, ladies, want to get your final comments before we get out of here. Give your final comments. Go ahead. Just kick it off.
Okay, so my final comment, final remark would be educate, you know, discuss mental health, you know, get involved. And, you know, and I just wanted to add something about what the pastor was just saying, you know, about the trauma with black people, you know, especially black girls. We're often forced to, you know, grow up before we have to in some ways. So, you know, that can, you know, cause that stress and that mental health. So, you know, don't force your kids to grow up too fast or grow up too slow, whatever the case may be. And, you know, give your kids, you know, room to grow, room to learn, room to explore. And, you know, if you're an adult out there who may be struggling, you know, get a therapist, do your research. But, yeah. Okay, Kristen?
My final comments would be, you know, just bring light to the topic. Don't shame when somebody is just that, you know, don't shame anyone. You know, just overall just talk about it more so people won't feel alone.
That's good. That's good, y'all.
My final comment would be for the parents, if you notice something changing in like your kids, talk to them. And even if you don't see something changing in them, because sometimes that's not always the case when it comes to mental health, just talk to them every day and make sure they're all right. And just ask them about their mental health and all of that. And also for the kids, if you feel like there's something going on with you, either try to educate or talk to someone about it. Even when you don't really know if you're just sad at the moment or you may have depression, still talk to someone about that because it can help a lot. Even if you don't have depression, talking to someone when you're sad can also do you good. So, yeah, that's all.
All right. That's good, ladies. Thank you very much, Layla, Kristen, and Ray. Y'all had a very powerful show on mental health today. Just like Pastor Kim say, very proud of you young ladies. All of us here at Breaking Chains, we got your back. We in your corner and we love you and we support in everything that you do. Continue to press forward and continue to step up and let your voices be heard. Continue to speak up and speak out, you know, and let's make sure that we learn things from each other. So thank you very much for such a powerful show. Here's your Black History fact for today. Our Black History honoree today is going to be, let's see, I just had it. Here she is. Our self-made millionaire, Madam C.J. Walker, was born on a cotton plantation in Louisiana, and she became wealthy after inventing a line of African-American hair care products. She established Madam C.J. Walker Laboratories and was also known for her philanthropy. Madam C.J. Walker is our Black History honoree for today. Thank you, ma'am, for everything that you have done. All right, here's our health tip for today. Don't forget to get your exercise in. Do your exercise. Do your stretching in the morning and in the evening. Make sure that you put 64 ounces of water in your body every day. That's 4 bottles of 16-ounce bottles of water or 8 glasses with 8 ounces of water in each bottle or however you want to get 64 ounces of water in your body. Just make that sure that you do that. That's the minimum amount of water that you should put in your body on a daily basis. Make sure you eat your vegetables, eat your fruit, step back from all the fried foods, all the sweets, and do me a favor, at least one day out of the week, become a vegetarian. Cut out meat out of your diet for at least one day out of the week and see your body change. We need you physically and mentally healthy, and most importantly, spiritually. We need you to study the Word of God to show yourself approved before God, you know, a workman unashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right? Pray, pray without ceasing, because the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, it availeth much. Ladies and gentlemen out there, it says in the scriptures, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. All right? So let's make sure that we put God first in all things that we're doing. We thank everybody for turning us on. Which one of you young ladies is going to pray us out today?
I'll do it. Okay. Please bow your head. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you have done and provided for us to be, you know, able to come together today. Thank you for bringing us together today. Bless everybody who was listening. Bless everybody who may need a blessing, or anybody who may go in, who may be going through anything. I pray that, you know, people going with mental health issues, going through mental health issues, don't feel like they need to commit suicide, and that they turn to you or turn to someone else, and they get the help that they need and the help that they deserve, so they can keep living another day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless everyone. Don't forget tomorrow morning, 10:15 a.m. Central Standard Time. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, make sure that you join us in prayer. Take a minute and pause and pray with us in the spirit. 10:15 tomorrow morning, Central Standard Time. And don't forget Sunday, this Sunday, Mother's Day. Make sure that you show love to your mothers, everyone that has their mother still in their life. It's Mother's Day. Let's celebrate all of our moms this Sunday. And don't forget, Raise the Sound is on at 5 p.m. And our special guest for Mother's Day is Rodney Toomer. And guess what? That's a.k.a. DJ Rod Ski will be here with us Raising the Sound this Sunday. And don't forget, next Sunday, the 16th, oh, man, one of our very own pastors, Pastor Joseph Johnson, Holy Boy himself, will be our special guest. So put it on your calendar. Hey, man, hey, we enjoyed you. Thank you for hanging out with Breaking Chains and Youth Talk. Don't forget, we love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Continue to break chains. We out of here. Peace, everybody. We love you. Good night.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. We are dying,
we are dying.
They are lying, hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be,
I'm
just trying to be, late as I can be,
great as I can be.
Grow with one another, living happily,
living happily.
But you hurting me,
yeah. You hurting me?
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. Yeah. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you. Oh, oh.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love the world? Oh. Can you feel the grace,
can
family?
You feel the grace,
to breathe
family.
Another day.
To breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place to kiss, to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves. People, I love.
love you.
My people, I love.
I love you, my people. I love you, my people.
I feel you, baby. Oh, I feel you, baby. Oh,
we're family.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, you and me.
Thank you for logging on. You've been listening to Breaking Chains and Youth Talk, heard every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and the society that they live in. It's Breaking Chains and Youth Talk every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. Shoot us an email at webreakingchains@gmail.com or call in and get involved in the conversation, 858-357-9137. It's Breaking Chains and Youth Talk on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence. Being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.